ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Respected listeners, during the month of Rajab, we made the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajabin wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. A dua that was taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A dua wherein we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to enjoy His divine blessings during the month of Rajab and to allow us to enjoy those divine blessings in the month of Sha'ban and to allow us to witness and experience the month of Ramadan. The month of Rajab has passed, which was a sacred month, and we are now fortunate to witness and experience the month of Sha'ban. The month of Sha'ban is indeed a blessed month, and it is a month wherein a believer seeks to prepare himself or herself for the month of Ramadan. It is a prelude to the month of Ramadan. It is a month wherein a person and a believer looks forward to witnessing and experiencing the month of Ramadan in a state that will be proved to be beneficial. And that is why we find that many of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'in and our pious predecessors, when the month of Sha'ban had arrived, they had exerted themselves in act of worship, and they exerted themselves in different types of activities that enhanced them spiritually and that prepared them for the arrival of the month of Ramadan. And one of the ways they did this was they enhanced their relationship with the Quran, and they developed a stronger relationship with the Quran during the month of Sha'ban. Why is that? It's because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the month of Ramadan in the Quran, Allah says that it is a month, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. It is a month wherein the Quran was revealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us and providing us with the definition of the month of Ramadan. And even though it is a month wherein we are fasting throughout the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not define it as the month of fasting. And when we think of Ramadan, the first thing we think of is the fast. And the first thing we start calculating is the hours that we will spend in a state of hunger and in a state of thirst. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines the month of Ramadan, He does not say, شهر رمضان الذي تصومون فيه, it is the month in which you fast. He says that it is the month in which the Quran was revealed, drawing our attention to the most significant point and the most significant aspect with regard to the month of Ramadan, and that is the revelation of the Quran. So we fast in the month of Ramadan in order to celebrate the revelation of the Quran that was revealed to the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba would refer to the month of Sha'ban as Shahrul Quran, the month of the reciters of the Quran. Because in the month of Sha'ban, during this month, they had exerted themselves and they had increased their relationship with the Quran. In terms of reciting the Quran, they had recited it more often than they would recite before the month of Sha'ban. They dedicated a greater amount of time to the recitation of the Quran in the month of Sha'ban. And apart from reciting it, one is the recitation, of course, but one is also developing an attachment with the Quran. And attachment with the Quran is developed through understanding the Quran and understanding the message of the Quran. And what an ideal opportunity Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. Though many of us feel that we are now confined to the four walls of our homes, and we are confined in terms of the space that we usually enjoy. Normally we enjoy a greater deal of freedom, but because of the situation and because of this pandemic that has enveloped the world, we find that we are now confined in terms of our movements, We are restricted in terms of our activities. We are confined to the four walls of our homes. But let us see this as an opportunity to do things that we could not do while we enjoyed the freedom. There are so many things that we never have time for. There are so many things that we can never do because we are so occupied and we are so busy with all our other worldly commitments that we are normally engaged in. But now we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with this ideal opportunity before the month of Ramadan to dedicate time to certain things that we usually do not have time for. So let us look at this as an opportunity. It is an opportunity for us to do so many wonderful things, especially when it comes to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many things that we can do, so many ways and so many means through which we can earn closeness and proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the restrictions that have been placed on us. So let us look at it positively. Yes, there are many negative aspects and there are many things that perhaps will cause us to become frustrated. But when we look at the many positive things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden within this crisis and within this problem that many of us are faced with, we find that indeed there are so many positive things, and a believer always looks for the positive in every situation. As dull as it may seem, as bad as it may be, but a believer is one who will always look at it positively and draw out the good from every circumstance, from every issue, from every problem, whether favorable circumstances or unfavorable circumstances come upon the believer. He or she is always looking for the positives that are contained within that situation and within that condition. We will inshallah study this evening one ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, which is ayah number 35 of Surah Al-Baqarah. In the preceding ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the moment when Allah announced the creation of Adam alayhi salam to the angels. And this is unique to the Quran. We find that in every divine scripture, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in all the divine scriptures that were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find that there is mention of the story of Adam alayhi salam and the creation of Adam. But what is unique in the Quran, and we do not find this in any other divine scripture, is that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of an announcement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made to the angels, alayhimu salatu wassalam, regarding the creation of Adam alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced his creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to create something. And generally an announcement is made by a manufacturer. An announcement regarding a certain product is made by a company when there is great significance and there is uniqueness attached to that product. When any company announces a product and there is this huge hype that is created around the manufacturing or the launching of a certain product, then you find that an announcement the other products do not enjoy that were manufactured and that were created by the company. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had announced and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had drawn the attention of the malaika to the creation of Adam alayhi salam is something unique. It shows that this creation which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to bring into the world and was to place on earth was no ordinary creation. Was a special, unique creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will enjoy unique features. A special creation of Allah, a masterpiece of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. And that's why we find that Allah announced the creation of humankind, the creation of Adam alayhi salam, before placing him on earth. And let me take you to that ayah before coming to the actual ayah that we were studying this evening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember when your Rabb said to all the angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this announcement. And this hype was created around the creation of Adam alayhi salam, that to all the angels it was announced, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. What was the announcement? I am to place a khalifa on earth. So that is something unique that is found in the Quran. And that is the announcement of the creation of Adam alayhi salam. And that is not found in any other divine scripture. It does. The other divine scriptures do of course relate to us the incident of Adam alayhi salam and Hawa. But we find that this is unique to the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prior to the creation announces that Allah azza wa jal is to create this humankind and this unique creature of Allah. So Adam alayhi salam is brought into existence. He is brought into existence. We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the angels to bow down or prostrate before Adam alayhi salam. All the angels are instructed to prostrate before him. And we know the incident and what happens. Iblis, the shaitan, the devil, he refused to bow down, due to which he was expelled from Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then created for Adam alayhi salam a spouse by the name of Hawa. Adam alayhi salam, though he was blessed with the best real estate, he was blessed with the best in terms of comfort, in terms of luxury, in terms of food, in terms of clothing, in terms of drink, he had it all. But he walked around Jannah and he walked around paradise feeling lonely. Even though he had a lot of friends, his friends were the angels, his friends were the malaika, alayhimu salatu wassalam. And he would sit with the angels, and the angels would come and sit with Adam alayhi salam, and they were so amazed and amused with Adam alayhi salam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with ilm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with knowledge, a unique type of knowledge that the angels did not possess. So they would come up to Adam alayhi salam and they would question him and they would ask him certain things, that, oh Adam alayhi salam, what is this called? And he would then give them the name of a certain item or a certain thing that they would point to, and then they'd ask him about different things, that what is this called and what is this creature called and what is this creation called. And they were so amused and amazed and stunned by the ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed within Adam alayhi salam, the ability to name things. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah placed within Adam alayhi salam the knowledge and the ability to name things. He was given that ability. So they were the company of Adam alayhi salam. And he would spend his time with them, and they would spend their time with him. So he had the most amazing friends, but still he felt lonely. He felt that he needed a companion with whom he could enjoy an intimate and a very close relationship. And once Adam alayhi salam goes to sleep and he goes to rest, and when he wakes up, he finds that there is this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is seated beside him, and he is shocked and he is amazed. And then he asks her regarding her identity and who she was and what she was. And of course, that was our mother Hawa alayhi salam. When the two of them were united in Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had declared them husband and wife, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them certain instructions. And that is the ayah that we are studying this evening. Ayah number 35 of Surah Al-Baqarah. So you have Adam alayhi salam and you have Hawa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has united the two of them as husband and wife, and now they enjoy a unique relationship, the relationship of husband and wife. The first such relationship, a relationship that was made in paradise, made in Jannah, in the literal sense. And as they are standing before Allah, the new couple, the first husband and wife to exist, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the two of them, وَقُلْنَا, we said, يَا آدَمْ أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجِكَ الْجَنَّةِ. O Adam, you and your wife, you and your spouse, both of you dwell in Jannah, dwell in paradise. Now, you know, after the nikah or after the marriage, the first thing the couple think of is a destination, the honeymoon destination, where they are going to spend their honeymoon. So that's the first thing that comes to the mind. And that's the first arrangement that the two of them are thinking of. And the first plan that the two of them wish to now execute. And that is moving towards a holiday destination, or moving towards a honeymoon vacation where the two of them can spend a certain amount of time together with each other, learning about each other and interacting with each other. And that's what we find happening over here immediately when the two of them are united as husband and wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Adam, uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah. That's your honeymoon destination. Dwell, live, both you and your wife live in al-jannah. Uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah. Now something unique we find with a home. What is a home called in Arabic? Uskun. Uskun comes from the root letters which are sukoon. Sukoon means comfort. Sukoon means tranquility. Sukoon means peace. Right? So that's the original meaning of sukoon. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He tells the two of them to dwell, when He tells the two of them to live in paradise, He instructs them saying, uskun. Both of you find peace. Both of you find tranquility. Both of you find comfort. Uskun. Both you, husband and wife, where? In al-Jannah, in paradise. And in Arabic, one of the words that we use for a home or for a house is maskan. Maskan. Maskan from sukoon. Maskan actually means a place of sukoon. That's the original meaning of maskan, which is house or which is a home in Arabic. So that is what the home should be. Now during this period, this lockdown period, let that home become a place of sukoon, because that is what the home should be. A home is the sanctuary. A home is the place. A home is the territory wherein a believer finds sukoon. He finds peace. She finds tranquility. She finds comfort. A believer does not have to move beyond the four corners of the maskan, beyond the four corners of the home in order to find sukoon. Where will sukoon be found? Sukoon is found in the maskan. In the maskan. Maskan in the home. But of course, that sukoon within the home, it depends on what activities are happening within the home. And that's very, very important. During this lockdown period, and during this period wherein we are going to be restricted and confined to the four corners of the home, what is very, very important is the type of activities that we are going to engage in, the type of things that we are going to do, the type of actions that we are going to carry out within the home. That will determine whether that home will be a maskan or it will not be a maskan, whether it will be a place of sukoon or it will not be a place of sukoon. So the home of a believer should be a place of sukoon, a place of tranquility, a place of peace, and a place of comfort. That's what maskan means. And that's what Allah tells Adam and Hawa, that find sukoon in Jannah. Every home can become a Jannah, especially during this 21 days. You can make your home a Jannah, wherein you find sukoon. But it all depends on the individuals living within that home. If they will bring within the home such amal, such deeds, such activities that are from the deeds, activities and amal of the people of Jannah, then truly speaking, that home and that space will really become a miskin, a source of peace, comfort, and tranquility. وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ. So Allah tells Adam and Hawa, Allah tells them both, أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ, you Adam, وَزَوْجُكَ, and your wife, your spouse, both of you dwell, live, find sukoon, find peace. وَقُلَا, and eat, both of you eat. So instructions are being issued to both, Adam and Hawa. Both husband and wife are required to make that home into a miskin, to make that home into a place of sukoon. It is not the responsibility of the husband only or the responsibility of the wife only to bring about sukoon, peace, comfort and tranquility within the home. Allah is addressing both husband and wife. And that's the first instructions. These are the first set of instructions that are being issued to the first couple that came into existence. The first husband and wife that came into existence. These are the very first instructions that are issued to both of them. That both of you find sukoon in Al-Jannah. So it is both need to contribute. The husband as well as the wife, both are required to contribute towards the sukoon, towards the tranquility and the comfort within the home. The children as well, those who are living and existing within the home, all of them are responsible to turning that home into a true maskan, a true place of sukoon, and making it a place of tranquility and peace within this very dunya, a piece of paradise within the dunya that Allah has placed us. Second instruction that's given to them, وَكُلَا مِنْهَا. Allah says, and eat. Enjoy the food and eat of it. Eat of paradise. وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا. رَغَدًا, رَغَدًا is a unique word. رَغَدًا means to something is found in abundance, and along with it being found in abundance, it never diminishes, it never gets finished. Because sometimes you are told you can enjoy something, and you can have a lot of something, and you can have an abundance of something. But there is the fear and there is the concern that it will end, it will come to an end, it will get finished. Everything in this world is of such a nature. The food that we eat, the drink that we have, whatever we possess, the material things and comforts of the world are of a temporary nature. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Adam and Hawa, the two of them, and He tells them to eat of the food of paradise, He says to the two of them, وَكُلَا مِنْهَا, both of you eat from it, رَغَدًا, رَغَدًا, رَغَدًا means in abundance, without it ever getting finished. That's what Raghadan means. So there is no fear of the honeymoon coming to an end. And there is no fear of the food getting finished. Many have this fear during this lockdown period. There is the fear, there is the concern that do I have enough of the necessities that I require? Perhaps many of us, alhamdulillah, we are well stocked, and our cupboards are well stocked, and our freezers are well stocked. But there are many out there who are living with this constant fear. Really, who have this constant fear that where will my next meal come from? Because many of them were relying on us. Many of them were looking forward to their daily sadaqah, looking forward to their daily charity, looking forward to their daily payment that they had received, and that is what they had survived on. So many of them have this fear. They might have a little, but there is the fear that this little that they have will come to an end, and they will not have any more supplies in order for them to survive. So that's a unique word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses about the food of paradise, the fruit of paradise, the drinks of paradise, and everything in paradise, raghadan. It's found in abundance, and it never ever ends. It will never ever finish. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا, both of you eat of paradise freely. So I think maybe a suitable word or translation for the word raghab, which it doesn't really do justice to the translation of raghab, but a suitable and perhaps the closest meaning to the translation of raghadan is freely. Eat freely, haythu shi'tuma, wherever you feel and wherever you want to eat from. Wherever you wish, from wherever you wish, eat from wherever you wish, from the fruits, from the trees, and from whatever else is available in paradise, eat from it freely without any fear of it coming to an end and getting finished. So these were the first two instructions that were given to Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam. The first was that they should find peace, tranquility and comfort in paradise. And secondly, is that they should eat of the food of paradise freely without the fear of it coming to an end. There was one don't. So these were the first do's that were issued to both Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam. The first do's that were issued to the two of them. There was the first don't. After the first do's, there was a don't that was issued to the two of them, which we will discuss in our next session, in our next lesson on Thursday night, insha'Allah ta'ala. So let us use this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Really, it is a window of many, many opportunities, especially considering that we are moving towards the month of Ramadan. Let us dedicate most of our time to such actions and to such activities that will enhance our spiritual selves and that will prepare us for the month of Ramadan. It is really a great opportunity from Allah. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shut one door, many doors have been shut. The world is on lockdown. So many doors have been shut. He says when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shuts down one door, He opens up another door of mercy. He never shuts a door without opening up another door of opportunity, without opening up another door of mercy for you. So while many doors have been shut, many businesses have been closed, many centers of learning have been shut down, and our entire country is on lockdown, look towards the many other doors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up for you. There are many other doors that Allah azza wa jal has opened up for you. Many more opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for you. Focus on those positive things, as we said earlier. Focus on all those other opportunities. You will only feel depressed and you will only feel frustrated, and you will not gain much from the many opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided every one of us with. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to use this time to increase our recitation of the Quran and spend a lot of time pondering over the messages contained within the Quran, so that we are ready to receive the month of the Quran in a state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.